From Iowa Public Radio News, this is The Exchange. I'm Alex Hoyer, in for Ben Kiefer. College seniors are 1 month away from graduation. Then they face the challenge of finding employment in a job market that is slow to recover. Today, we examine the job outlook for this year's graduates. I'll talk with Carrie Kuntz from Iowa Workforce Development, who looks at Iowa's most recent unemployment rate. The numbers from March coming out today. Catherine Brooks will join the conversation. She's the author of You Majored in What? Brooks says in times like these, it's important to look for work with a whole new perspective. We'll also hear stories from recent college graduates and what they have or haven't found. Today on The Exchange, right after NPR News. This is The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio, sitting in for Ben Kiefer today. I'm Alex Hoyer. Last night, President Obama signed into law an extension of federal unemployment benefits, which will last until June 2nd. The bill passed the Senate on a 59-38 vote, which was an unusually partisan vote. Republicans and Democrats backed previous unemployment extensions by wide margins. This time around, Republicans primarily objected to the bill because it will add to the national debt. We're also getting the first look at March's unemployment rate in Iowa, which was just released 2 hours ago. So let's get right to that news. Joining me now is Carrie Kuntz from Iowa Workforce Development, the state agency that helps people find employment and develop skills. Carrie Kuntz, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
All right, so we're getting right to this news. What are the latest numbers for March in Iowa?
Well, in March, we added 7,300 jobs to our economy, which is very good. That's the third month in a row, and it's the kind of progress we need to see to come out of this recession. Our unemployment rate did tick up 0.1%, but that's not uncommon as you're coming out of a recession such as this. Number one, unemployment is a lagging indicator, but you also have a number of people through the recession, because this has been a fairly long one, who have become what we call discouraged workers, meaning they were unemployed, but they also stopped looking for work. And when that happens, they are no longer part of the labor force. But as you start to see job growth and you see jobs added and more jobs opening up, people start to see that as positive and they come back into the labor force. So they add back to those numbers, but they may still be unemployed, and hence our unemployment rate can continue to rise for a few months.
Mm-hmm. Explain how the unemployment rate can tick up just a little bit, and we also get more jobs. How does that work?
Well, there are two different indicators that figure that. The unemployment rate is based on people. So it's your civilian labor force for the state, which for Iowa is 1.6 million people, almost 1.7 million. And then we have an unemployed number of 114,600. So that comes out to 6.8%. And the previous month, in February, our labor force was just 1,682,000. So we added almost 3,000 people to the labor force, but we also added several thousand people into the unemployed as well, and so therefore we get a tick up in it. Now, we did add 7,300 jobs to the economy, which you have to remember that jobs are counted just as that, so one person can have more than one job. And just because we add job growth, it doesn't necessarily mean that everybody that has been unemployed is qualified to take those jobs. So you still have kind of an offset there for a while. So it's likely that until probably the third quarter of this year, we may still see some, you know, edging up and down of our unemployment rate. We're going to have to see some really strong job growth and a lot of development out there in different areas for a while until we start to see some significant declines in our rate.
So the jobs that were added, primarily what sector of the economy are those added jobs in?
Well, we added 2,800 jobs in what's called professional and business services. That's a lot of your back office operations. It's also temp agency hiring, which is something that happens first in a recovery. Companies will bring on temporary employees before they bring back permanent full-time ones. We saw 1,400 jobs added in manufacturing, which is very good for Iowa, because that was our industry where we had the largest job losses during the recession. And then we added 1,000 in leisure and hospitality, which is typical this time of year. You start to see growth when you have summer travel coming up and those kinds of things. And we added 2,000 in government, predominantly at the city and county level.
We had just recently the John Morrell plant in Sioux City that laid off quite a few workers. How will that, if at all, impact the state's unemployment rate, do you think?
Well, we won't start to see those numbers for a little bit yet, because it's a lagging numbers. For example, we're looking at the March numbers now. so we may be a month or two before we really start to see kind of any effect on those. And it's really going to depend heavily on what job growth we're seeing. Statewide, it may have a minimal effect because we're starting to see some strong job growth. Now, for the region up there, it's probably going to have some, you know, some effect. Their unemployment rates are going to go up for a little while.
Before we get into really talking about the kinds of services at Iowa Workforce Development, how does the unemployment situation in the state now compare to this time last year?
Well, this time last year, we had a rate of 5.5%, so we're significantly higher. We had 91,000 people unemployed, and we're at 114,000 now. So obviously, 2009 was one of the hardest parts for us during the recession. We say that Iowa went into the recession in about the fourth quarter of 2008. So we're definitely up from that. However, you know, these job gains that we're seeing are starting to have a dramatic effect on what our losses were. So that's a very positive sign.
We're throwing around a lot of numbers here, but when you take an analysis of the numbers that we're talking about, what does it say about Iowa? Are we in recovery? Are we recovering from this recession now?
We're in recovery. When we've got a long ways to go, it's going to take several months of strong job growth for us to start to see, you know, all of the businesses really begin to open back up and be at their high, you know, top hiring levels and those kinds of things.
You previously said that the numbers that came out in March are encouraging while still an uptick. What are you most optimistic about at this point and going forward?
Well, what really sets us is that we've had 3 months now of overall statewide job growth, and that's important. We need to be having that. We need to add jobs every month to come out of this, and as well as we're adding jobs back in manufacturing again, which is critical because of the 58,000 jobs that Iowa lost during the recession, over half were in manufacturing. So it's going to take a while to see that industry recover, but if we start adding 1,400 jobs at a time, we'll you know, take a hit at that very quickly.
And is the job growth what indicates that we are in a recovery?
Absolutely. It's one of the pieces. We need, you know, there's a variety of pieces, but job growth, we see what we call wages and hours, meaning especially in manufacturing, the hours worked, the average hours of a work week. When you're in a recession, that comes down below 40 hours, but now we're back up to that and even into the 41s, 42s at times, so companies are expanding their production and those kinds of things. And then consumer spending has gone up some, so that's positive as well.
And compared with the rest of the nation, Iowa still a little bit better off?
Well, our unemployment rate is certainly one of the lowest that's out there. And we've stayed that way throughout the entire recession, and that's positive. We do tend to stay lower than the national. Now, what does tend to happen in the central part of this country is we go into the recession later than the east and the west coast, so we come out a little bit later. So you may hear, you know, other parts of the country that sounds like they're doing better quicker, but really what the point is that we went into the recession later as well.
Let's get to the other big news, which was that President Obama last night signed a federal extension of unemployment benefits. How will this benefit Iowans?
Well, this is very good because we were at the point in time here where we were seeing 1,000 to 2,000 Iowans a week running out of benefits. And since the extensions had expired, they weren't eligible to go on to those. And it's very important as we come out of this recovery that we keep those unemployment dollars coming to individuals. It's been proven time and again that these are dollars that are turned around and spent quickly within a community. That's, as everyone knows, unemployment is not a replacement of your income. On average, it pays about 38% of what your income was before, but it pays your groceries, and it's being spent at the grocery store. It's paying your rent and those kinds of things, and that's very important, and it provides an economic benefit for the community as a whole.
So there have been some Iowans who have been not receiving their unemployment benefit for a couple of weeks. How long had that been?
Depends on what portion of it they were in before, whether they were in regular benefits or on one of the tiers of the extended. So it's been a 1 to 2 week kind of range. But fortunately, our system is set up so that people could still do their weekly reporting, and we were able to store that so we're able to go back and get those individuals their benefits here.
So people will be able to retroactively seek out their unemployment benefits if they had lapsed because the federal extension had not yet been approved.
Correct. That is correct.
So what do people really need to do? Do they just need to go to their workforce development center and work it out with them? How will that work?
If they've been doing their weekly reporting, they don't need to do anything. They've stayed on the system, and we'll catch it and be ready to go. But if not, then if they've let their reporting lapse, then yes, they will need to go to one of the 55 field offices across the state.
I believe that it was a 60-day extension that was passed, that was signed into law yesterday. Is that really enough time?
No, we would really like to see there be an extension that goes through 2010 that gives individuals a chance to, you know, go through the recovery and get back into the workforce solidly. But at this point in time, they passed a 60-day, and hopefully they'll pass something that goes all the way through the end of the year before the 60-day expires.
How long do you foresee there to be a need of this extension? Because maybe we should step back a little bit. Currently, people without an extension are able to stay on unemployment and collect unemployment benefit for how long?
Traditional state benefits, which are your first level of benefits, are 26 weeks. And then what we have are three tiers of extensions that have been available. And with the extensions, the total goes to 73 weeks.
So you said that really we need this until the end of the year, and we may need it for how long?
Well, you know, we think if we can get it through the end of the year, that's really going to help solidly put Iowa and take care of our people out there.
Through state budget cuts, there was a 10% across the board cut last year. How is that at all affecting the services that Iowa Workforce Development is able to provide?
Well, fortunately, in a couple of places. One, about 80% of our organization's budget is actually federally funded. So when there was a 10% across the board, it was of your state funds only. And then the legislature and the governor recognized the need of workforce services, especially at a time like this, and they backfilled a lot of that for us as well. So we were able to, you know, to keep going forward, and we had some discretionary funding from the federal government that we were able to keep having very little lapse of any kind of service delivered out there.
As we talked about at the very beginning of the show, this vote of the extension of the unemployment benefits was unusually partisan this time, because the Congress on a bipartisan vote had previously extended unemployment benefits. Is there an effort by the state to try to lobby to get these federal extension benefits?
Actually, just recently, earlier in the week, Governor Culver had sent a letter to a portion of our delegation in D.C. asking for and discussing the need for the extension of benefits and talking about what it provides Iowans and how many millions of dollars it puts into our economy and those kinds of things.
Okay, great. We have to take a quick break. In a moment, we'll continue the conversation with Carrie Kuntz of Iowa Workforce Development. I'll also be joined by Catherine Brooks, a career counselor and coach, also author of You Majored in What? Mapping Your Path from Chaos to Career. We'll also take your calls. Tell us your story. Are you a recent college grad looking for work, or maybe considering going back to school? Give us a call at 1-866-780-9100. That's 1-866-780-9100. Or send us an email at theexchange@iowapublicradio.org. We're back after 1 minute. We're back with The Exchange on Iowa Public Radio. This hour, we're talking about unemployment, finding a job, and now ways to make yourself stand out, along with Carrie Kuntz of Iowa Workforce Development. Joining me now is Catherine Brooks, the author of You Majored in What? Mapping Your Path from Chaos to Career, a career coach and counselor and director of Liberal Arts Career Services at the University of Texas at Austin. Thank you for joining us, Catherine.
Thank you.
Let's start with you. During the first part of the show, we were talking about the federal unemployment benefits extension signed into law last night. What's your reaction to that news?
Well, I think it's great news because it's a lifeline for people who really need it right now. This has been an exceedingly long recessionary period, and it is a very, very tough job market.
We've been talking with Carrie Kuntz of Iowa Workforce Development. During this tough economic time, how should people really be taking advantage of state resources like the one that we have here?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the most important thing is to not consider unemployment as a time to drop out of the process. It's very easy to get in the habit of looking at the newspaper and seeing the headlines about no jobs and kind of feeling hopeless or helpless, and then sit back and say, I'm just going to wait until it starts to look better. that's probably one of the biggest mistakes.
Mm-hmm. So specifically when people seek out state services, should they be primarily doing resume building, skills advancement, job search? What specifically should they be doing with a state resource?
Well, with state resources, I think, first of all, get informed. Find out what is available. In some cases, depending upon the office, and I'm sure Carrie can fill this in better than I, but depending on the office, they may have funds available for individuals to go back and get additional training or school of some sort. They may offer free job clubs and other support groups that they can take advantage of. Employment agencies have job banks and listings where people can go in and search on computers for job openings. Sometimes there's a preference given to certain people in the job market, depending on whether they're a veteran or depending on whether they were let go from a particular organization. Sometimes companies have a policy that people who are let go are the first ones to be considered when there's an uptick in the hiring again. Those are all things that your state agency can help you know and understand. And absolutely, all the skills of finding a job, from resume writing to cover letter writing to presenting yourself at the interview, all of those types of factors are very important, and the state agencies help with those as well.
Let's turn to you, Carrie Kuntz. Catherine Brooks just mentioned quite a bit of services. What does Iowa Workforce Development provide to people looking for a job, maybe wanting to advance their skills?
Yeah, you know, everything that she mentioned and more. We do constant training classes, whether it's, you know, resume development, how to interview, mock interviewing we set up for people that are, especially if you've been out of the looking game for a while, maybe you were employed for 15, 20 years at the same place, and trust me, interviewing has changed dramatically in the last few years. And that's important information. We offer, you know, referrals on jobs. We offer assessment tests. Maybe you're looking to change career fields, and we'll work with you to determine what you think might be a better field for you and where you have a fit. And as was mentioned earlier, yes, we do have, there's a number of programs that are out there that can help pay for training and stuff, particularly for people that were dislocated. They lost their job through a layoff or plant closure and those kinds of things, and we can help them work through those processes of what might be the best fit for them.
Have the services that you provide had to change in scope because more people are looking for a job? Are there different types of skills that or techniques that you are emphasizing now?
Well, we do a lot more of classroom approach, you know, where we do a large resume development class and things like that to meet the needs of everybody that needs services immediately, as well as it's really an economy where people need to focus on upgrading their skills if they want to stay competitive in the economy now and in the future. So our goal has been to really, what we'd say, take everybody up a level.
If there were two or three services that Iowa Workforce Development provides that maybe people really wouldn't think about, what would surprise us that Workforce Development provides?
Well, I think a lot of people think of Workforce Development as just a place to go and sit down at a computer and do self-searching, and that's not really the case. You know, our goal is to work with you and make you job ready. So maybe you need a training class on how to present yourself in the workforce, and we do those kinds of things. Maybe you need upgrades in computers. Maybe you haven't had to work on that and you really need some basic computer training. We offer classes, and we also partner with the community colleges and adult basic ed to get that information out there as well.
Do you think enough people are taking advantage of the services?
Our classrooms are definitely full. We have waiting lists for our classes, so we add more every time we have space and get that information out there.
Catherine Brooks, there is certainly a difference between somebody who has 20 or 30 years of workplace experience who's been laid off and a difference between that person and a recent college graduate or somebody who will be graduating next month. What is the difference for the college graduates looking for work versus the people who have had employment for decades?
Well, I think that they're psychologically at a different place. A college graduate is just starting out. They're selling more potential than anything else. They don't necessarily have a lot of experience. Someone who's a mid-career person who's transitioning perhaps into another field, they're approaching it from a different perspective, particularly if they were just laid off. It's a regrouping that they have to do in a way that a recent college graduate, this is just what's expected. They expected to graduate and start looking for a job. A mid-career person might not have been as prepared for that.
So what kinds of, how do you really make yourself stand out as a recent college graduate compared with people who have had the 20, 30, 40 years of experience?
Well, I think you're selling to a certain amount, you're selling the education you've just received, depending on what that might be. You've received the most recent training in the field that you're in. I think you're also presenting the information that you have that is more natural to you. For instance, I find that recent college graduates much more up on the social media scene than others are. And so they're well familiar with Facebook and Twittering and all that sort of thing that they might want to do or help the employer with. Those are some of the skills we hear employers talking about a lot.
What about resume building? That first impression that a employer is looking at, what do you do on the resume?
Well, hopefully sometime during their college years, they did do some internships, held summer jobs, were a leader in a student organization, something like that. So they will have some experience to put on their resume. And what they need to focus on, and actually, you know, this is something mid-career folks have to focus on too, and that is the transferable skills. What have they learned in what they've already done, and how can that apply to the new setting that they're going into? And that's what becomes key, is focusing on the employer, the employer's needs, and what they want to see on your resume. It's, you know, there's a classic line in marketing that says, get out of your ego and into the customer's ego. And I would apply that to the career field and say, get out of your ego and into the employer's ego. You know, it's not so much what have I done during my college years or what have I done over these past 20 years in the workforce, but what does this job require and how can I show that I have the experiences that relate to that?
Carrie Coons, Catherine Brooks mentioned social media, that one of the selling points for a college grad is that they might be up on Facebook, Twitter, MySpace. How at all have you noticed, if at all, that social media plays a part in when people are trying to look for a job?
Well, it's definitely a place that's growing out there between Facebook and LinkedIn, especially, which is a professional, more social media site where people are out doing research and connecting with people in the same career fields and stuff. And then on the flip side, we also warn people, and this does fall with the younger generation as well, that employers are using it as well. And they're looking at your Facebook account, and they're looking at what you've put out there. So remember, it's another way that employers are interviewing you. So if you have things out there that you might not want an employer to see, you either need to get them off of your account, or you need to make sure that your account is locked down so that it's a very private account.
In about 20 seconds, how can people seek out help from Iowa Workforce Development? Where can they go for help?
Well, they can go to their local offices. We have 55 across the state. They can go to our website, which is iowaworkforce.org, for 24/7 help, and make contact with a lot of our workforce partners through that as well.
Great. Carrie Coons of Iowa Workforce Development, thank you for joining us this half hour.
All right. Thank you.
Coming up, we'll continue our conversation with Catherine Brooks. We'll talk about the chaos theory. What is it, and how does it apply to finding a job? You're listening to The Exchange on Iowa Public Radio. What's a man supposed to do when he's down and out of work? I need a job, I'm out of work. I'm unemployed, I'm out of work. I need a job, I'm out of work. I go to pick my girl up, her name is Linda Brown. Her dad invites me in, he tells me to sit down. The small talk that we're making We're back with The Exchange on Iowa Public Radio. Sitting in today for Ben Kiefer, I'm Alex Hoyer. This hour, we're talking about unemployment and the job outlook for nearly 115,000 unemployed Iowans, as well as recent college graduates and those who will graduate in May. In the first half of the program, we talked about Iowa's most recent unemployment numbers, up slightly, the rate up slightly from last month to 6.8%, but the state still adding some jobs. Tell us your story about unemployment. Are you looking for a job and having trouble? What about recent college graduates or those who will graduate in May? What concerns do you have? Give us a call at 1-866-780-9100. That's 866-780-9100, or send us an email at theexchange@iowapublicradio.org. Continuing our conversation this half hour is Catherine Brooks, the author of You Majored in What? Mapping Your Path from Chaos to Career, a career coach and counselor and director of liberal arts career services at the University of Texas at Austin. Welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Alex.
In your book, you write about the chaos theory as it relates to finding a job. First, what is the chaos theory?
Okay. Well, chaos theory is actually a mathematical theory, and I certainly don't go into that part of it. But it's basically came from weather prediction. They were trying to find a way to better predict the weather. And could we come up with a formula if we entered all the data about weather into a data bank, could we do a better job of predicting it? And ultimately what they discovered was no. And the reason is because it is too complex. There are too many things that happen, and things tend to emerge, as they say in chaos theory. So I like that idea applied to careers, the idea that it's very hard to predict what you're going to do. You can predict reasonably within a year or 2 years or whatever, but when you start making 5 and 10 and future predictions about what you're going to be doing, it just is much harder to do because it is too complex. There are too many factors that come into play.
And you talk about the butterfly model. What is that?
The butterfly effect. Well, that is a part of chaos theory where they talk about the fact that a very small occurrence can ultimately have a big influence. So the example that's used is a butterfly flaps its wings in Mexico, which sets off a current, air current stream that ultimately causes a tsunami in Asia. And in career, if you look at it from that angle, a small event, an encounter, a happen chance meeting that you have with a person can result in a job or can result in moving into a career path you would never have thought of before.
Do you maybe have a specific example, somebody that you've come across in research?
Well, I've worked with college students for many years, and I have tons of butterfly effect stories. I think one that just comes to mind immediately that just happened in the last year was a student of mine who was an English major, went with her friend to the roller derby in town, not the normal place you would go to look for a job. But she was at the roller derby and saw off to the side there was a panel of individuals from a local nonprofit women's health care organization. And because she's always been interested in women's health care, she just got up and walked over to the table, started chatting with them. In the conversation, mentioned she was an English major. They asked her if she'd be interested in interning with them for the semester, helping them write some brochures. And then ultimately, they offered her a job. And so it's the sort of thing you're not expecting to go to the roller derby and find a job, but that's the butterfly effect. Something happens, you meet someone, you get into a conversation, and it evolves.
So really always being on the lookout no matter what kind of situation that you're in.
Absolutely. Always looking for the opportunity, looking for a chance for to meet someone. And again, you don't know when or how that's going to occur.
Okay. Joining us now by phone is John Madden. He's a graduate of the University of Iowa in 2009 with a degree in political science. Welcome to the program, John.
Hi, thanks.
So tell us a little bit about your job search.
I graduated in the end of, summer of 2009 last year, and I was looking for a career in government with my degree in political science, and I applied to a few places back in my hometown of Chicago, various places like the Public Defender's Office and a few others, and really didn't get much feedback from any of those. So as of the time being home, I've been working part-time at a bookstore, and I just started working for the census, which is a temporary job, and now I'm planning on going back to law school in the fall. So,
And you'll be going to law school where?
I've heard back from a few places now. I'm still waiting to hear back from all of them, so I haven't made a final decision on it yet.
So are you able to really get excited about going to law school? Because it seems like that wasn't your first choice.
Well, I wanted to, enter the workforce and kind of get it on my own and, start working on a career-type job as soon as I graduated college. But, it became pretty apparent that that wasn't working out pretty quickly. And, I'm interested in the law. It kind of follows in, my major course of study, and, I've taken a few pre-law classes. So I'm definitely interested in it, but, it was kind of a plan B other than, looking for a job after graduating.
Mm. Catherine Brooks, is John's situation something that you find that's typical?
I think a lot of recent graduates are going to Plan B, Plan C, Plan D right now. A lot of us have an ideal plan, and this is a very tough economy to move forward with that sometimes.
Hmm. So would you give him any other advice, or do you think he's really on the right path here, going back to law school?
Well, I think that if he wants to be a lawyer, then law school is obviously the perfect path. That's the thing to be thinking about is law school is a 3-year commitment, and hopefully by the time he graduates, there will be a better job market, better economy. And so one of the things to start thinking about is, okay, if I'm committed to law school, one is to commit to be the absolute best student you can be, because law careers can be just as competitive, arguably more competitive than other fields. So you want to make sure that you're getting the best grades, you're doing the best, you're publishing in law review if you can, taking on leadership roles, so you really stand out as a law student. And then, in addition to that, start thinking about where you would like to practice law, not just geographically, but what field or what area. Like, for instance, even if you decide not to become a lawyer directly, but would rather, say, become a lobbyist or something like that, you want to start developing connections while you're in law school and building up that kind of a network, so that when you graduate, you will already have a group of people that you can go to begin looking for jobs.
So if you're not going back to school, we've talked about taking a part-time job, and we've talked about doing an internship. What kind of advice would you give to people who would have only the option to take an unpaid internship?
Mm-hmm. And that happens. Internships are meant to be a training ground. They're meant to be a place to learn and absorb as much knowledge as you can. So that's the focus you want to have, is what can I learn today? What knowledge can I acquire that's going to build my resume or that possibly will lead to a job? Many, many companies hire from within. They hire from their internship staff. So that's a very important thing to remember. If you can get an internship with a company where you'd really like to have a job, I know it can be perceived as less than or not as great as getting a job, and certainly if there's no money, that's a problem. But on the other hand, you're in with the company. You get to know people who can write you letters of reference. You'll probably be the first one considered if opportunities do open up. So an internship can be a great resume builder and a great experience builder. And quite frankly, it'll also teach you what you don't want. If all that happens from that internship is you say, I never want to work in that field again, you have just, invested a small amount of time for a very valuable learning experience.
John Madden, did you consider going to an internship, whether paid or unpaid?
Yeah, I've actually looked at a few certain government internships, and it's kind of a regret I never really followed through too much with those ideas, because things just kind of happen so quickly, and you start working a part-time job and get into doing what you're doing. So, but yeah, I definitely consider that, and I think that's definitely a good idea to getting good with the field that you want to be into, and get a foot in the door like that.
All right. Best of luck to you, John, in your continued schooling and a future career.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. Catherine Brooks, I am not too far out of college, so I still know some friends who are still looking for work, and some of these have taken unpaid internships, and it's almost a situation of where it's tough to really get motivated for doing something without getting paid for it. And in some cases, these people have said that they feel like they're being taken advantage of almost. So how do you really get yourself motivated to do an unpaid internship?
Well, I think you have to look at just what you're saying. What is my motivation? Why am I here? And certainly, if you feel that you are being misused in some way, taken advantage of, whatever, I mean, internships are meant to be short-term. You're not supposed to be interning for a year or 2 years, anything of that kind of length unpaid. you need to be getting something out of it. And so that's one thing to keep in mind. If you're still an unpaid intern after a year, essentially then you're a volunteer. And you need to think about, why am I volunteering? Is this on the one hand, is it a nonprofit agency for which volunteering is very much an expected beginning part? Or is this a corporation, you know, that really could afford to be paying me? So you want to be careful that you're not being taken advantage of. And companies are not allowed to do that. There are very strict rules governing internships and when they're paid and not paid, and companies need to comply with that. But as the worker or as the intern, I think if you're learning, if you're, again, building that resume, if you're building connections, if you're meeting people, getting a network, that is what you have to keep your eye on. It's where will this lead? Where could this go? And when you start to suspect that it's a dead end, that's the time to start looking around. You know, I had a student one year who went over to London. She got a temporary work permit. She decided she had studied abroad in London. She wanted to go back. Her ultimate career goal was publishing. But obviously, she was not able to get a job in that field. She took a job bartending at a pub. And what she did was, every customer who came in recognized that she had an American accent, and they would ask her why she was there. And she talked about how much she loved London and how she really hoped to get a career in publishing, but that until that came about, she was really enjoying working in this pub. And sure enough, within about a month, one of the customers that she said that to happened to work at a publishing firm. And he invited her to come over and check out the firm. And she ultimately started working for them as what they call an Americanizer, which means she translated British English into American English. And she worked in their cookbook division, translating their cookbooks for them, which was, you know, a job that obviously she never planned on. It wasn't like she came over to London saying, I'm going to be an Americanizer. It's just what evolved. And because she did all the right things. She didn't have a bad attitude about it. She took a positive spin on why she was working. She knew why she was at the pub. She knew it wasn't glamorous, but it was getting her into London, which to her was glamorous. And so she just had fun, talked with her customers, and again, out of those relationships is where these sorts of opportunities spring.
So going from the pub to a publishing firm.
Absolutely.
Yeah, getting in the labor force, L-A-B-O-R, as opposed to L-A-B-O-U-R.
Man, you're good at this. Okay.
Well, that's enough there. But give us a call. Share your story with us. What are you finding as a challenge? Give us a call at 1-866-780-9100. That's 866-780-9100. Or send us an email at theexchange@iowapublicradio.org. Joining us now from Boone is David. David, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm glad to be on.
Yeah. What's your story?
I retired from the military last year and moved to rural Boone. I've been looking for a job in, you know, Ames or Des Moines, and just haven't been able to find the kind of state or federal government job I wanted to get, just because I'm too young to retire for good. Of course, it's a bad time to be looking for a state government job, perhaps, but you know, that's what I was looking for.
Mm. Catherine Brooks, I know that you talk about a liberal arts education in that it gives you an option to really branch out. With somebody like David, who has military experience, certainly somebody in the military has to do plenty of things and plenty of things well, but
absolutely,
how can you apply what you learn in the military, and there are many different jobs, but how do you apply that to finding a job?
Okay. Well, if you've been in the military for a while, I think that the biggest challenge I see with folks from the military is they have tremendous experience. They often have leadership experiences that you don't get anywhere else, working under very difficult conditions, again, depending on where you were deployed or based. But it's a different language, quite frankly. Military speaks its own language, and you need to be careful in your resume and in your interviews that you have removed any kind of jargon, any sort of abbreviations, anything that sort of screams military. You want to stop a minute, take a step back, and list all of your accomplishments in the military. What were your greatest strengths? What do you think you had natural gifts for? What were the things that just really connected for you in the military and you know would be things you would do well? And then stop and think about, where does that fit best in a civilian setting? and how can I convey that to an employer in a non-military lingo way? Because it's so easy to get caught up in the vocabulary. I had an individual apply for a position here in my career office one time who had extensive military experience, and he spent about a paragraph in his cover letter talking about his sharpshooting capabilities. And I guess obviously in the military this was a very needed thing, and he was excelled at it. But the truth is that isn't something, hopefully, I need in my career center every day. He would have been far better to have talked instead, thought through, what did I have to do to become a sharpshooter? What does that require? Is it a patience thing? Is it a focus thing? You know, what goes into being a sharpshooter? And that's what he should have talked about instead of specifically sharpshooting. So, that may or may not apply to this individual, to David's situation, but it sort of gives you an idea. Think about what was required to become good at whatever you became good at.
Okay.
Thank you, and best of luck to you, David.
Thanks very much.
Now joining us, James in Iowa City. Welcome to the program.
Hi there. I'm just going to throw in my two cents about being one of those hundreds of thousands of people that lost their job to the economy, and being in my 30s and having a family and taking a significant pay cut just to pay the bills, I decided I'd go ahead and reinvent myself, and so I'm trying to go back to school, and it's just really difficult in the situation to have to kind of take a step back and put yourself back 10 years and try and reinvent yourself. And so one of the things that I'm finding is that it's very difficult for those of us that have been in the workforce to do that, and it's, financially, it's not necessarily set up for those of us who have to go and reinvent ourselves. So I just want to throw that out there to people that they're going through the same situation, and not to lose hope, and keep plugging away.
How are you trying to reinvent yourself, James?
Oh, I got a bachelor's degree in management, and now I'm trying to go into nursing. So it's quite a change to go from transportation industry and shift over to the healthcare field. But, it's just, it looks like the thing that I should do, and it's what I want to do, and I don't know that I necessarily was meant for business, so this is where I'm at.
Best of luck to you in pursuing a nursing career.
Thank you.
Catherine Brooks, you're a career coach and a counselor, director of the Liberal Arts Career Services at the University of Texas at Austin, so you see a lot of students, and one of the things that I would assume that you would tell them is that finding a job is a lot of work, is almost a full-time job, but yet you see people who have to work, who have to take on a part-time job, something for less money perhaps, or who do an internship, paid or unpaid, to get experience or to help pay the bills. How do you really balance your time?
Balance is the word. I think it is hard, and I think your last caller brings up the emotional aspect of it. It is when you have a plan and you're working your plan and things go along, and then somebody throws a wrench in it, it does take some time to transition into this new plan. It sounds like you're, this caller who's now pursuing a nursing career, I'm hoping that he's going to find it's much more rewarding and great than his previous career. It sounds like he might be leaning toward that way. But yeah, it's important to spend, I'm estimating about 20 hours a week on that job search. So you need to be doing that while you're working at another job, hopefully not while you're at the job, but in the evenings or outside, but always setting aside some time each day and over the weekend to spend with your family, to spend with your friends, to just do whatever recharges you and gives you the energy to keep going. But I think you do have to have a certain amount of self-discipline and kind of make yourself sit down and do some of these tasks that aren't easy. The job, and that's where maybe joining a job club or some other kind of weekend group where you can get together with other people who are in the same boat, get their advice. Just talking to other people in the same situation helps a lot.
Mm-hmm. For recent college graduates who are the traditional age, maybe 22, 23, 24, their parents would want to help them. How do parents help their children?
Well, I think, when parents are most helpful is when they're there to listen, to hear their son or daughter's frustration, to assist them if they hear of leads at other companies and things. They don't want to do the search for them. I think that's probably one of the worst things they can do is when mom or dad steps in and tries to do the job search for them, writes their resume for them, contacts companies for them. That they should not do. But giving them leads, encouraging them to move forward on leads, setting some boundaries for living at home of, you know, here's how the rules are going to work while you're living here at home. So that those sorts of things are clarified and not an additional source of stress.
Okay, and briefly, in about 10 seconds, you mentioned a job club. What is that?
Job clubs are anything from meetup.com to just look in your local paper. A lot of churches hold them. They're just groups of people who are looking for a job.
Okay, great. We have run out of time today. Catherine Brooks, author of You Majored in What? Mapping Your Path from Chaos to Career. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Alex. Appreciate it.
All right. And thank you to all our callers and our guests today. The Exchange is produced by Jeff Schmidt, Catherine Perkins, and Lindsay Moon today. Technical support from Dennis Reese. Podcasting and on-demand audio of The Exchange available by going to iowapublicradio.org. The Exchange is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Alex Hoyer. Thanks for joining us.